Malachi 3, verses 10 through 11. It occurs to me to think about something as we get ready for the text. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16, which Jesus quotes in Matthew chapter 4, verse 7, we hear these words, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." That is, that you should not test the Lord your God. And I think we know, generally speaking, any idea of anyone thinking, "Oh, I'm going to test the Lord and, you know, see if he responds," not a good idea, right? However, there's an exception to this rule, and it is in our text this evening. Let us read Malachi 3, verses 10 to 11. "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." When you're investing your money, when you're looking to try to do something with it, you're always thinking about what will be the return on investment, especially if you might be working with more than a bank account and you're looking at any kinds of wealth management. The purpose of that is, you know, what kind of return can you get? And then you'll also consider how much risk are you willing to take. And if you're wanting to be careful, you will have the kind of portfolio that is very mild in risk, so that you know you might not have the chance to make as much, but you know that it'll be there and you'll make something, as opposed to you risk a lot, but you could make a lot. But if you were guaranteed that you would never lose, and your profit was guaranteed to be protected at a high yield, you'd jump at it, right? I mean, sign me up. You're telling me that it's going to have a great, great high interest, and I'm guaranteed it, it's no chance of risk or loss? Sign me up. So we see tonight in our verse, tithing to the church is a great investment in your lives. Now, let me say, I know I don't really have to give this disclaimer. We're not going to be preaching the prosperity gospel tonight. Nonetheless, let's see what the Lord says. Tithing is an incredible investment, return on your investment. Don't believe me? I dare you to find out if you haven't, although I know I'm preaching to the choir here. In fact, that's, as you'll hear later on, the reason for the sermon. God calls his people to test him with their tithing. He will show them that he will make them fruitful more than they can imagine. Wow. This verse is often brought up about, the context, don't rob God of his tithe, but let's remember what he says. What he promises, test me. You're not tithing? Test me. You wonder why you're struggling? Test me. Oh, you don't make enough to tithe? Test me and see what happens. All these excuses are often given by people for not tithing. And God says, why don't you test me? It's pretty incredible to think about, considering normally we are not to test the Lord our God. Again, God calls his people to test him with their tithing. He will show them when they do that he will make them fruitful more than they can imagine. They needed the challenge. Look at verses 8 and 9. Not surprising, in the prophets, there's quite a bit of rebuke and correction. And then there is a promise for restoration as the people respond. But notice in verses 8 and 9, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even the whole nation." They robbed God of their tithes and offerings, so they experienced his curse. They were all dried up, including spiritually. They were not fruitful because they were not bearing fruit. He's saying to them, all your calamities, all your challenges, there's all kinds of issues at the root of it. But let me focus on one of the symptoms and the problems. You're not tithing. And this is all through the scriptures. You know, boy, how many times in our 10 years together has tithing come up just in exegetical sermons through the Pentateuch? Right? We've looked at it from the New Testament also for various reasons, but this is not something they should not be familiar with. But of course, the church often strays and needs to be reformed. And he's saying, you're not tithing, you're robbing from me, because I've commanded you the tithe, that is 10% of your gross income, whatever it is, that time particularly agricultural for the most part kind of a situation. You are not giving me a 10% of the top. You are robbing me. I'm the one who gave it to you. I'm the one who trusts you to be stewards of these things, and you're not paying me. Imagine if you rent a storefront for your business and the landlord comes and says, well, you think I'm going to let you keep your store open? You're not paying me. I'm going to have to close your shop, right? So they have been robbing God because specifically they're not tithing 10% of their income to him before they do anything, including pay the government. They've robbed God of their tithes, and so they're not fruitful. And so the command in verse 10 is give your tithes. Tithe 10% to his house, notice. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Take care of my church, he says. Take care of my ministry. And we're not talking about the ministers so much as whatever is involved in his system to provide to carry on the ministry of the church, the witness of the church, the ministry to the people of the church. He says, give to my house. Other prophets, other places, other times, in Malachi as well, there's just the concern that, look, you're taking care of your own houses, but you're letting my house go to shambles. And what you're showing is, I'm not primary. In fact, you're not treating me as God, let alone your God. So he's telling them to tithe in verse 10. But notice, beyond a command to get back to what is the command of God, he gives motivation. He gives a challenge. He gives a test. He says, prove me. Test me. See how he responds with rewards to your tithing, he says. The rest of verses 10 and 11. So he says, test me. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Wow. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. He says, test me. See if I don't pour down a blessing from heaven. See if I don't just make it you can't even hold it all. And don't worry if your fruits are not, you think your fruits won't make it after all this work, I'll make sure they're not destroyed. Something interesting to notice, twice the name the Lord of hosts comes up. I'm not focusing on that this evening, but it's interesting in two verses, the Lord of hosts is his name comes up. The Lord of hosts is that name of God related to being the mighty warrior, and all the angels do his bidding, and he is the victorious king over all. So he can provide, he has all the spoils. Trust the Lord of hosts. After all, he's the one that sent them into this promised land, and they're often ruining it and being sent away from it because they're not doing what the Lord says, including they're not tithing and they're experiencing loss because of it. But not only will God pour out a bounty from heaven, he will make sure to protect your fruitful productivity on earth. That's what he says, tithe. And see if I don't just bless you with a boatload of things and protect it all. Isn't that what we're all mostly thinking about most of our waking day? I mean, isn't that what we spend most of our time worrying about and thinking about? We go back to Matthew 6, now Jesus says, why would you do that? But isn't it, you know? And isn't that what the world obviously really is worried about? And too many Christians are too worldly. They don't tithe the Lord's day of the week. And what's the main reason? I gotta work. God expects me to take care of my family. Yeah, his way. And in fact, you're stealing from God, so you're actually taking away from what your family could have. It may not be money, it may be all kinds of other things. It certainly will involve stealing from their spiritual growth. He's the Lord of hosts. He He promises to give us such productivity. The very thing we're so concerned to protect, and we end up shrinking it rather than growing it because we won't tithe to him first. We won't trust him. He says, test me. I will show you. Verse 11, he says he'll protect our fruits. That's kind of neat to think about because tithing is related to our first fruits. The Bible speaks about our tithing as our first fruits. Similarly, there's a statement and a test relating to our first fruits in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Give me your first fruits, he says. That is, give me your tithe, 10% of everything, and see if I don't provide for you in amazing ways. This does not mean you're going to be driving a Mercedes or Rolls Royce with someone else driving it. I don't know. You know, again, it's not necessarily what we're talking about. He's always going to provide for us in all kinds of ways you can't even imagine. I know we're tithers. I'm preaching to the choir, but I can just even testify over the last year or so, things have been extremely difficult financially. And not just because of changes here. It's just been one thing after the next. And just last night, when I had to realize I'm going to put that kind of money into an alternator into my new car that's 10 years old I just bought a year ago. You know, I was like, I can never get ahead, you know. But then I had to stop and say, don't you dare complain, because there are some things that have happened recently that you were hoping to get ahead with. But what you need to recognize, God provided for that right now. Think about if it wasn't that, how you'd be handling it. And I said, thank the Lord that I parked it, and then the thing started smoking right at the Chula Vista car place. You know, and that's what we need to recognize, that he's going to provide. We shall not want. He'll provide in amazing ways. He'll always take care of us, and we'll be able to be content with it, which is much of the scripture. Can you be content with what you have and not be covetous? I mean, really, God can keep giving us more, and we always have a way of spending it up and wasting it and never being satisfied. What we need more of is an ability to be content and work with what we have and watch it explode as we just trust him and learn to live simply to do that. He says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. If you give the first fruits unto the Lord, then shall your barns be full of plenty. And that's the same idea of our text. It's test me. Prove me. Give 10% first fruits, and then I will preserve your, I will bless you with so much, a cornucopia, and I will preserve those fruits from rotting on the vine. You know, I was looking out at our grapefruit tree. I didn't really worry about it because I don't like grapefruit. That's probably why I neglect it, right? But there's a couple of them falling on the ground, and I'm like, and it's funny, that tree never stops bearing fruit. But because I don't like it, we'll bring it out in bowls. Some people like it because it goes fast, but not us. But I thought, oh, I feel bad. That fruit's rotting on the ground. And he's saying, that's not going to happen. I won't even let your fruit rot before you can pick it. I'm just going to bless you. Test me, he says. Maybe we all might say, well, yeah, but that stuff happens. Well, then maybe we've never really tested. And I trust we're tithing, but maybe there's ways that we're not really testing him in faith walks. He gives the same challenge and the same promise in Proverbs 3 as he does in our text this evening. But it's also in the New Testament. It's not just the Old Testament. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 8. Very much related to taking care of the continuation of the ministry. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he hath purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. That's New Testament saying, you get what you reap. You sow stinginess, you live a life of Ebenezer Scrooge until he's changed, right? Oh, you may have stuff, but you're not happy with it. You can't use it all, you know. There's no cheerfulness in that. You give, you have the opportunity to do blessings for others, and there's this joy that comes with it. And that's the thing, we'll be thinking about not even ourselves so much as what we can do for others. That's where the real joy comes. You know, and it's striking me to consider also that my understanding of the statistics are that the majority of those who are giving donations to charity are those who don't have a lot. It isn't that there aren't large donors and that those large donors don't get some special attention, but it's kind of like small businesses make up our economy for the most part, right? You know, it's the little guys that don't have that much are usually the ones most responsive to give. Now, that's interesting to think about, because what does Paul say to the Philippians when we get back to them? Not just in the letter to the Philippians, but all elsewhere about them. They are the ones that are giving the most. They're the most consistent supporting of the church. And the very letter of the Philippians is basically a thank you gift receipt, right? It's more than that, but it's mainly the impetus of the letter is, I want to thank you for sending Epaphroditus, and I want to let you know he's okay, and I want to thank you for the gift that you've sent. I want to thank you for your concern for the ministry. And he says, you are always the ones that are giving out of your poverty. And you give more than others and more frequently, right? We can think of the widow's mite. God pays attention to those things as well. But there's a joy that comes with it. So, beloved, tithe your treasures, but also tithe your time. Some people can't be bothered to really get involved with church. All they talk about is what they get out of it. And they don't get what they want, they're out of here. They never talk about what they can give to the church. And they never have that joy. They only have a stingy heart. And they clearly have no happiness. Tithe also of your talents related to your time. How can you be, you know, I know I don't have to say this either, but we're not talking about, you know, getting to come before and do a special song during the worship service. No. But what are the kinds of things you can do with your talents that really could help? Maybe it is related to the mercy ministry. Maybe it relates to other things. What are the kinds of things that you can be doing? What are the kinds of things that Christians can be doing with their talent? What can we, are we giving at least 10% of our time and our talent to the Lord? And at least particularly, are we giving him the Lord's day? Do that and watch him grow your fruits of the Spirit and your spiritual gifts too. Remember the sermon we heard last week by Dr. Richard Phillips? He encouraged people to think about, you know, with the calling in Jeremiah 1, says, you know, tell young people if you want to get it, if you want to find out yourself and know yourself and figure out your purpose in life, read the Bible. The Lord will just direct you. You want to know that? Get involved in church and serve, and the Lord will show you your gifts and develop and opening things. It's not the primary motive, of course, but seek first his kingdom, all these things will be added to you. And all the things people are trying to gain and grasp so hardly to, that run through their fingers like sand, if they even get anything in there at all, is because they're doing the opposite. And we're in the same danger of that. Though God promises a bounty, he also everywhere reassures you with the bare minimum at all times. That's the other thing. Even if you don't have the bounty, can you not give the testimony of Psalm 37, verse 25 that you sang tonight? I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And isn't that the testimony that we can say to those who are afraid to tithe, or afraid to honor the Sabbath day and not work unless it's necessity or mercy? Or, you know, concerned to be in our neck of the woods because of the expenses. Our testimony can be from our own experience. Yeah, I know. It's sacrifice. I know. But the Lord has called us here, just like all the churches in Asia. He never said move to Texas. No offense to all our Texas friends. But isn't that the way today of the churches? We're all going to apparently is the golden land, you know, and we forget the Lord calls us to just serve and suffer where we are, because the golden land is the new heavens and the new earth. And he wants a testimony, a witness everywhere. And our testimony can be, yes, it's hard. Yes, it's a struggle. And guess what? I've never gone without bread. I've never seen my children struggle. Does that mean we haven't had to figure things out often? And does it mean I haven't been nervous? Yeah. But as I look back over it, I still, one of my biggest concerns is I had to get a bigger belt again, and I can barely button my pants. You don't need to worry about it. Or put another way, have you not always found that God multiplied your little cruse of oil and handful of meal and few loaves and fishes? I mean, can't we say that as a church? Every year. And we always are struggling, and we're always spending an enormous amount of time on our budget plans, as we should. But we never really quite make it, and yet we always make it. Because something happens. We can never guarantee it, but God does in this verse. Because we tithe and we do the best we can with it. And God always provides more. Because he promises he will. And that's a testimony. That's a good testimony to have. Think about, again, I think it was the beginning of this year or the end of this last year, we spent a lot of time. How many times did he provide the loaves and fishes, you know, in abundance with leftovers? And he's like, you still don't get it? You know, stop worrying. Has he not made water out of your wine? Give what you have and trust him to fill you up. Offer yourself as an earthen vessel and trust that he will work through you. If you hold back, you will not experience this. I don't know who could be watching on our webcast, but if you hold back from tithing to the Lord of your talents and your time and your treasures, you will not know what we're talking about. And you won't know peace and contentment. You know, it was such a nice experience yesterday as I watched my alternator send up smoke signals to somewhere in Mexico. It was so nice for me to be able to just say, hey, what are you going to do? I got to fix it. There goes what I thought I was going to do with that money coming in. But the Lord provided. And that's what that was for. And you know what? One of these days, I'm just going to kind of start learning. I don't need to worry about it. It's day by day, trusting for the daily bread. And I never know how it's going to figure it out, but he always does. And there's so many things that I said, can you imagine if that didn't happen? And it did. And no credit to me. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but just, you know, along with you, I tithe. I've always tithed since I learned about it. And for a long time, I can't remember since. And I've never begged bread. And I've always had much more than I really need. And I got a closet full of stuff that I probably should throw out because I never wear it. You know, partly because I'm a man and we like to wear the same old raggy t-shirts all the time. Some of it's because it doesn't fit anymore. Some of it's because I just have too many clothes. You know, most of them are from Goodwill, but still, you know, I mean, it's just, we have so much, right? We have so much. Are we not often going to Goodwill bringing things because we don't have room? And they always ask me for a receipt. I say, no, I can't take a receipt. You're helping me. You're doing me a service. I don't have to hire somebody. I'm giving you stuff out of convenience to clean my house, you know? But that's our life, isn't it? I mean, we have so much. God takes care of us so much. We don't need to worry. We have to trust him. We don't really need to test him. We just need to trust him. But he's challenging us. Go ahead and test me. It's almost like, okay, you won't trust me? Why don't you test me? Maybe you'll respond to that. And watch what happens. But many hold back and they do not experience it. And so many do not benefit. But how do we keep surviving as a little church, huh? I mean, I know we have extra numbers gone this week with vacation and ailment but and other issues. But how do we keep surviving? People ask that often. What's the answer? I always give. We have faithful tithers. Our people tithe. And they tithe for a long time without a pastor, so there's resources there, and they continue to tithe. That isn't that, you know, we haven't had to get creative, me with a second job this year, which has turned out to be a great ministry opportunity, as we've talked about, right? It's just, it's kind of like, you know, we've said this year with all these things we've had to make to trust the Lord, rather than say we're going to close shop and go, you know, we care about what we stand for the Lord. And so we're going to just keep trusting him if he keeps the door open and he says, in the letters to the churches in Asia, you who are trying to be most faithful, not because you deserve it, but I'll keep your light on. I'll keep your door open. And he keeps doing it. But how do we keep surviving? Faithful tither, cheerful givers. There's always something. Every year it's like, we can't really base our budget on this number because it was not a tithe. That was only, it was a tithe in the sense of a special gift, most likely. But and I don't know what they are. I mean, I'm not trying to, I don't want to know because, you know, a lot of pastors don't want to preach on tithing. I'll preach on tithing, but it's better that I don't know specifics to do that. But there's always something, right? Every year there's just always something. It's like, wow. We can't budget. But every year we're saying, well, we can't budget on that. And we can't. But every year it happens. Because God said he'll take care of us. God says not just that you will survive, but that you will thrive. You don't have to necessarily have tons of numbers to thrive. We've been talking about how we have just enjoyed such a special fellowship together this year. But this week at session, we signed a contract for a down payment on the sale of our back lot and half our parking lot. As you know, we've been working on as a number of ways of looking to figure out how to use and invest our resources to not just wait, but trust the Lord and move forward. And we just signed a contract with Mr. Harrigan where he committed to give us $200,000 for this piece of land we never use and probably never will. And half of the parking lot, and it will be a beautiful new apartment community. It's probably going to take a couple of years. And so, because he cares about us, while we wait, he just signed, and it'll probably come in a couple of weeks, $40,000 of a down payment to help us. He doesn't have to do that. And this is unusual. This is not the norm. You know, this is not what usually happens. And in fact, I mean, he's taking great risk and he's had enormous expenses already to take on all the work to be able to get the land to where he can have it separated so he can sell it to us, or so we can sell it to him. And at the beginning of the year, Mr. Renner had a person come out just to do some preliminary work and paperwork. And we were all looking at it at session going, oh boy. Not only the expense, but how are we going to be able to do this? We don't know anything about this. We don't have the time. But Mr. Harrigan said, I called him wondering if he might know anybody. They're, oh, I'll do it. And he's been taking all expense all the time. And he's always like wanting to make sure we feel comfortable. And we keep threatening him that we might break out in a salsa dance at one of these meetings if he's not careful. We're so thankful. We're amazed by this. At the beginning of the year when we set our budget and we had our annual meeting and we said, I'm going to have to get a second job. We're all trying to stay positive and trust the Lord, right? But inside we're like, right? And then in a week or so, boom. Well, Grant, I'd like to hire you. And it's an incredible overlap with ministry. That a lot of work for them blesses the church. A lot of our work for the church, we can turn over there and it's given us new context and growing. It's like, I'm so glad this happened, we're all saying. Like, kind of think we'll probably always try to keep this going to some level of degree because it's such a special thing, right? And the, you know, need to figure things out and give whatever we can to the Lord to keep it going. Okay, well, it in some ways feels a little humiliating, but, you know, we're going to see if we can sell this plot of land. And we didn't know what we could get for it. Let me just tell you, the number I told you is way bigger than we thought. And he's even talking about other ways to bless us later as he gets to rent it, possibly. It's amazing. It's not usual that anyone would do this kind of down payment. And as you know, we don't know yet for sure, but a diaconate did visit us with Mr. Renner and Mr. Maxwell and their wives. They had dinner and they had a wonderful visit, and we don't know anything and we don't expect anything for sure. And if they say no, we're so happy that it's giving us a closer relationship with a like-minded church. But it looks like they're encouraged and wanting to help us in some way. I don't know what that would look like, but it's like, and that was just suggested by their pastor to me when we were having coffee meeting one way, just to support each other in our services to the churches. You know, all these things, all these surprises. At the beginning of the year, that wasn't even on our radar that this could, any of this could happen. But what did you keep doing along the way? Like you have every year, you have tithed. You have given 10% of your first fruits to the Lord. And so he's showing his promise is true to you again, right now. I don't know what the future is going to look like. All I know is that's a lot for us to work with. not just for a little bit in case the roof flies off or the air conditioner doesn't work, but to be able to invest in outreach and all these things we're hoping to do to build the foundation for the next generation and the future of this church and serving the Lord's church. Lord willing that one day we're planting churches. I know that sounds crazy. Think and act big. Because God is exceeding abundantly able to do above all that we ask or think. And may God bless us to tithe on this money coming in and trust him to make us especially fruitful and in the lives and ministries of others. Because there's a temptation. Well, we're thinking about that whole number. What if we did that? I want to challenge our trustees. And I'm thinking of the example of where I did my internship. The church tithed its overall income to missions. And I think that should be, as we grow, part of our budget too. Or how can we be really encouraging people who haven't tithed to tithe 10% of their income and trust the Lord? So I want to challenge and encourage us that and expect this blessing. I mean, he keeps proving it to us, right? It's almost like we'd be crazy not to make that investment by this verse, right? We'd be crazy. That's the best return on investment, beloved. Giving to the work of the Lord, trusting, therefore, he will give more to keep giving to the work of the Lord. And he's going to let us have to keep trusting him and saying, wow, and increasing and grow our faith, right? And let us see how, once again, you cannot outgive God. And that's often a phrase that you'll hear pastors say or write with this scripture. God in the scripture says, test me, prove me, give 10% of your first fruits to me, and see if I don't bless your socks off. It is such a guarantee from God that he's going to take care of us and preserve our resources if we give up 10% to them, trusting he's God and we're not. And he's in control of all of the things out there, and we're not. You want, and are you praying for a job opportunity, for an increase of an opportunity? Make sure you're tithing. Struggle to believe it? Maybe you're not tithing. You want to believe the Lord is going to do a work in your lives and other things you've always wanted to do with your talents or your time? Well, are you tithing it to the Lord in the first place? Watch out for so much blessing that can come. I mean, I get excited about this, thinking, just keep doing that. And we get to the end of the year, and yes, we're going to have all this extra money, and we're going to have to say, we can't budget on that. And no, we can't. Not for the annual fund. But nonetheless, let's remember this verse, and I'll probably bring it up for our annual meeting as our theme devotion. And let's see, once again, God is good on his promises, and you cannot outgive God. Reward may come in various forms that reflect tithing of not only your treasure, but your talents and your time, including especially the Sabbath. You want your week to go well? Tithe the holy day, not just for worship, but in between. And so, beloved, as we prepare to invest these new funds soon that will come in toward outreach and growth, and so we need to seriously think about how we are going to reach out in ways we've been talking about. We're not just going to wait and ask God for some kind of miracle. We're going to be good stewards of his resources. Think about that verse here today, actually. Let me read from William Secker in the Bulletin, The Consistent Christian. Man's enjoyment of outward blessings is not a lordship, but a stewardship. He will entrust things to us as we show we're good stewards and servants with it, and it's not ours. This church is not ours. This property is not ours. Oh, it is a name, but it's not ours. We are not ours. Our children are not ours. It's all given to us by God, entrusted to us to steward. Let's be good stewards. Tithe our time with our children, with family worship, before other things. And as we prepare to invest these funds in outreach and growth with what we never expected when we planned our annual budget in January, may you and I see how God is richly rewarding again your faithful tithing. And that's the message for you this evening. God is richly rewarding your faithful tithing. We're about to receive a $40,000 check as just a nice gesture that the rest is coming in a couple of years after they're allowed to break ground. And we have others thinking about how they can support us. Beloved, God is richly rewarding your faithful tithing. Let us thank him and praise him. Let us not exactly test him, but let's keep trusting him. And let's keep looking for the best return on our investment. For Christ and his kingdom and his righteousness, trusting all these things will be given us as well. Let us pray. Almighty God in heaven, we do give you glory and we do thank you for encouraging us that as we tithe of our resources, as we give 10% first to you, you have blessed us amazingly every year with things we couldn't have expected. And we particularly feel that pain of danger in our smallness, and yet you particularly show your greatness and your strength in our weakness as you keep providing in so many ways, showing trust you. You're good on your word. Give first to the church of your time, talents, and resources, and you'll take care of us as your people and what that will need to look like individually for that to happen. Protect us, Lord, from the danger and temptation of putting our resources first in other things and then maybe giving you a little bit afterwards or excusing ourselves we don't have anything left because we haven't put you first. We haven't sought first your kingdom and your righteousness. So we're always struggling. Instead, we can seek first your kingdom and your righteousness and still be struggling, but always seem to have more than we need. And thus have the contentment with it, because we have raiment and we have food. We have a place to lie our head. You always take care of us. You are our great shepherd. We shall not want. And Lord, we particularly want to praise you at this moment, about halfway through the year, if not a little more, working hard as the session and trustees, having to try to have faith and try to lead in faith through these things. And you show us you'll never leave us nor forsake us, and you'll always take care of us. And you are just good on your promise. You don't owe us anything but hell. But because you are faithful to your own promise and to your covenant with your people, as we tithe out of obedience and love, you always bless us more than we can imagine. And if we can't see that, forgive us that we won't look for it and see that this is true. But we recognize this, Lord, what has come to us this week. The elders truly almost were up and dancing and giving holy kisses. We just were so thankful for how you have done these things for us. Even a down payment and a retainer to encourage us to be able to do things this year, even just to cover our losses, but also be able to invest in outreach in ways we could not have otherwise, to absorb things, to move forward. And so, Lord, we lift it up to you. We lift up to you that we should be thinking about how to invest it when it comes. And we pray, Lord, we would not be afraid to prove that you are good on your word with it, and that to trust you will continue to keep showering us with blessings. And more than anything, we pray that that blessing, O Lord, would be sending new people and families to us with Berean spirits, drawing people out of the darkness into the light, filling this place with people who are convicted of their sin and want to be forgiven and have everlasting life through Christ, seeking the abundant life in Christ that is far greater than what this world has to offer materially, the peace of God that passeth all understanding and that is not of this world, joy unspeakable in Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost bearing his fruits in us, the love and fellowship of your people that is such a special thing. We have seen many go hours out of their way to get here to get it. Lord, we just thank you for what we have and how much you continue to bless. And we do pray, Lord, as we try to reinvest it and using our tithes, that you help us to take care of the ministry only in the sense that you would help us to continue the ministry to the people, and that you would let that grow, that one day there might even be other ministers to help. The harvest is ripe. We pray for laborers. We pray for your blessing on our denomination. We Pray, Lord, for just you to be rising up future ministers, mindful that this church was without for 10 years. Oh, Lord, we pray your blessing even as the church entrusted itself to ministry again, rather than holding on to all the money. Though we have struggled many losses, yet you continue to make us grow. And as we've talked about, you've helped us grow spiritually so much. You've helped us be setting a new foundation. And we just lift it all up to you, Lord. All our time we have been sacrificing to try to get into the fraternal relations with the denomination, to get everything settled and organized with paperwork from transitioning into our new association. Oh, Lord, we just beg you to bless it all and help us not to be afraid that you won't. Help us to trust it will not be in vain. Though we sow in tears, we will reap in joy. Oh, Lord, let us keep our hand to the plow. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for your promise is we shall reap if we faint not. And how we long to see that in heaven, at the resurrection, in the new heavens and the new earth, as we look around in our new bodies, in an eternal day where there'll be no death or pain or sorrow or tears, and we will have in Christ inherited all things, we will find that all of our sacrifice and tithing of our lives and resources for you and your church paid infinite dividends that cannot ever be counted, for we will be enjoying, not by our works, but by your grace, eternal life. We consider how the scriptures say in the prophets in Revelation, sell and buy for me. Buy for me what you cannot buy. Give it all up. Die to yourself. Turn to God for life in Christ. Have eternal life and abundant life now, and find that all is well, for he doeth all things well. Lord, we do thank you for you proving to us once again this testimony from Malachi this evening. When we tithe, when we give of our first fruits to you, when we are cheerful givers of 10% of our gross, you bless us abundantly. You return the investment. You reward us greatly. And we just marvel over how much you are giving to us this year especially. Let your people go away encouraged that because they have been faithful to you again, you are faithful to your promise to them again, and more as the interest, as it were, compounds. We pray these things through Jesus Christ with thanksgiving, and all your people said, Amen.